Well, the first thing I want to do is welcome those of you at Midtown who are a part of the message today. It's not all that often we get to share the message at the same time, so we welcome all of the Midtown community today. And joining me this morning is the CEO of Volunteers of America in Indiana and Ohio. For the last few years, I've had the privilege of attending their spring breakfast for people who support and are connected to VOA. And this past year's breakfast moved me in such a way that I said, man, if I can get you here in August to talk about the work that you do, I think it'll be a great blessing to our whole church. And in the course of that time, as we started thinking more about what we wanted to do in August and decided to talk about what our important challenges in our world right now, hate, fear, greed, we also wanted to talk about what can we do about that, not just hear good thoughts on Sunday, but to have at least a couple of Sundays where we can be challenged and inspired to think about ways we can respond to these needs. So the presentation a couple of weeks ago in which you learned about Streets to Home, you obviously were inspired. You've had such a great response to help with the issue of housing, and it's part of the way we make a difference. Today, we're going to think about the work of VOA and how that impacts us, but I want to first acknowledge in that scripture story that's perhaps very familiar to many of us, one of the parables of Jesus, in which he paints a picture of heaven, and he offers the clear idea that faithfulness to him looks like action. It looks like taking faith and putting it into demonstrable acts of mercy, love, kindness. The other thing that story does is it leaves people shocked and rewarded. There's both judgment and reward in the story. People who are told you did these things and they didn't even realize it. When you were helping others in such a way, you were helping me, said Jesus. And then there were those who did not help others, and so they find out we have not really been living our faith as we thought we were, and there's this sense of judgment. And it all comes about because of a sense of eye-opening revelation. This parable is about giving people an eye-opening revelation into what living our faith looks like every day. So I hope today we might have a sense of eye-opening inspiration in living our faith. So would you welcome right now the CEO of Volunteers of America, Indiana, Ohio, Mr. John Van Arks. So I told John that I'm going to approach this conversation as if you are as uninformed as I am. So when I first came across VOA, I really did not even know much about the work they did. And the more I learned, the more I felt like, how could I not? So, John, do you mind just sharing with us a little bit about Volunteers of America and what you do?
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Amazing congregation of service. So, Volunteers of America, we are a health, housing, and human services organization that's been around since 1896. So we sprang from the founding of Salvation Army. The word volunteers in our name is a little misleading because we are a large organization doing, I think, many, many great things in our communities across Ohio and Indiana. We're paid staff, but volunteers are important to us. Our mission is to offer hope and restore dignity and transform the lives of save the lives, in many cases, of those we serve and help them to reach their full potential and to become members of a thriving community. Mm. Summary of the types of services that we provide support for those struggling with substance use disorder and co-occurring mental health disorders. We address the needs of those experiencing homelessness and housing instability. We serve pregnant and parenting women who oftentimes are in the throes of recovery, addiction, and in the need of recovery, hoping to deliver a healthy child and hoping to keep their children while they're receiving treatment, a rather unique opportunity that's really proven to be very successful. We have the honor of serving our nation's veterans in a variety of services and their families. We have the ability to support men and women who have been involved in the justice system, returning home and supporting them and their families. And really, throughout all these years, we've supported the historically and chronically underserved. So it's been a great opportunity. We're also an interdenominational church. Right. And that is something personal, I think, that certainly drew me to VOA. But we believe that the spiritual needs of our clients are just as important as the emotional and physical needs. And I'd like to think that we, in a small way, we make a difference.
Hearing that grabbed my attention, learning about VOA, and that it's not just about meeting physical needs, but the care of the total person, which impresses me. Would you just share a couple of the locations of VOA work that people might recognize here in Indianapolis?
Yeah, so here in Indianapolis, we have our core services of supporting veterans in transitional housing, counseling, treatment, and permanent supportive housing. We support women.
Where is that one located?
There is one over in Hawville, which is our permanent supportive housing called Lincoln Apartments. We have a program at Brandon Hall downtown on Capitol in Indianapolis. And then there are a variety of services in the community funded by the VA and social services for veterans' families. There's our addiction treatment programming for women who had been using while pregnant and hoping to step out of those shadows and step away from the fear of trying to hide in those shadows and looking for someone who will help them and not fear that this is all going to result in someone taking my child, my baby away from me. And ultimately, that very well is what would happen if they don't seek treatment. So a very unique program, and that's on 927 North Pennsylvania. We have a number of outpatient services. Very excited about a new program opening at our Grimes Center in a couple of weeks out by the airport on Mickley. Mm-hmm. We also have that Brandon Hall programming that is folks in reentry and returning to the community.
I mean, there's a lot that you do, and then, of course, beyond Indianapolis and throughout Indiana and Ohio. I want to shift just a little bit here and talk about your own motivation for this work. How did you get into this?
With VOA? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think back to the first day of work that I had when I started my first job as a juvenile court probation officer. And I remember this young man on my very first day, and I observed court hearings and then also juvenile detention center activity that first day. And this young man was crying and had been brought into juvenile court and is wanting his mother to take him home, and he promised to do his best. The judge asked the mom. The mom said, I can't control him, and the judge decided to detain him. Then in the afternoon, I saw that same young man over in juvenile detention who was very different than that crying young man in the courtroom, and he was very assertive. He was streetwise. He understood the ways to survive in that group, and I found that very compelling. Because I thought there's something very complex is going on here, and which is he that young boy I saw in the court, or is he the young boy I saw in detention? And that really inspired me to try to find all the ways of faith, I think, that in addition to support and structure and guidance, and it motivated me, and I wound up eventually in a job where I could seek out Volunteers of America as an organization and hire them actually to run a halfway house in Indianapolis, which is still being run today on downtown Capitol. So wow. It was a great opportunity for me, and it's something that really was lasting impact.
What gets you out of bed every day? What's an example of something that you know that when you see this going on, you say, that'll keep me going?
Well, I think there's so many things that inspiration for me that you'll hear from person here shortly, I think, who is a great inspiration, and as well as an amazing leader of our organization that runs some of our programming. I think there's so much to see and to believe in the world that we are a very small part of, and how faith is a big part of that. Oftentimes, I think we see our clients kind of feeling like I'm in a constant storm, and they have no path forward. They see it never ending, and we at VOA, I think we try to be a lighthouse, if you will, in that storm, and help them to the point of feeling that stability. And I think whether it's the examples of Greg that you'll meet, whether it's the women who say, you know, if not for this opportunity, I would not have my baby in my arms, and therefore I'm more successful. I'm learning how to be a better parent, and I'm dealing with my addiction. I see women who are in our permanent supportive housing program who are veterans, and a very unique program because they needed some specialized focus on the experiences they have that were troubling. I see a man who is a Bureau of Prisons resident for our work release program, our halfway house program, who is now in Indianapolis a successful businessman, owning and running a number of restaurants and giving back. And so those are the things that inspire me.
You know, you were part of that.
And it felt amazing.
In the last few years, has need gone up or down in Indianapolis?
You know, I think it's gone up in the sense that we feel like we're making progress. There are certain things happening in the world that, even in the area of addiction treatment, it is so difficult with all the benefits that I think we're bringing to our clients and our families. It seems like the insidious part of the world is often working to, you know, try to one-up efforts of organizations like the congregation here and our organization. For example, the constant manufacturing of new synthetic opioids across the world that are being brought in, always seeming to be a step ahead of the type of medical treatment and the type of treatment that we can work and provide for moms and giving them healthy children and keeping their children, it's so hard to stay ahead of it.
I'll come back to this question after Greg and Yolanda join us, but I'll give you a chance to think about it first. Because I know that this is a church with people involved in organizations all over the city, and I'm often amazed when I feel like I shouldn't be after 14 years as your pastor to say, I had no idea somebody in our church was involved in that place and serving here and there. So it's a very engaged and involved church, but I also know that many of us are getting discouraged in these times. The need keeps going up, and as you've acknowledged for your organization right now, financial support that you would get through the government is going down, and you're being choked off, and how you can continue to provide need-meeting service to people. And I think we all get to a place where we feel like, you know, am I making any difference? So this is one to think about. What advice would you have to give? So we'll come back to that one. You acknowledge the guests we have with us, and so I want to invite Greg Landon and Yolanda Campbell, if you guys would come up and join us, and would you welcome them as they do so? Yolanda, why don't you come over by me here. Greg, I'll let you sit over there. and really appreciate you guys being here today. Greg, I want to start with you because I found what you shared that morning at the breakfast very inspirational. Would you go back and talk about what first got you connected to VOA?
Yeah, I've had addiction problems all my life since I was probably 13 years old. And so that led me to prison. So I did like 16 months in prison. And whenever I got out, I had had a, I went to the house that I had previously lived in before there, and there was a drugs going on there. And I knew that I didn't want to go back to that life. And so I went to the VOA. I had called, and they said to go down to Meridian Street. And I went down to Meridian Street. And then Meridian Street called down to Capitol Street. Capitol Street led me to this lovely lady over here. And I talked to her, and she gave me a bed that day. And that led me to a new life, and that lady over there saved my life. She really did.
I will say that that one is what got tears in my eyes that morning when you pointed across the room, and I couldn't even see where you were sitting there, and he said, you saved his life. Now, when you went there, if you're going back to that time, roughly how old were you then? You had already served in the military by that point, right?
Yeah. When I went where? To
the when you first met Yolanda.
Oh, 53. Yeah.
So you served our country, but you were dealing with addiction. Were you homeless at that time?
Yes.
You were homeless.
Yeah, I just got out of prison, yeah.
Were you out of hope? Were you at a place where you just felt like, yeah, I don't know that I'm going to go on?
Yeah, exactly. I was hopeless and desperate, and that wasn't my home that I went to. It was my sister's house, and she was in the throes of drug addiction, and I didn't want to be in that, so I had to find some place to go, and it was either that or, you know, living under a bridge somewhere, and I couldn't really do that because I was on parole. And I would have went back to prison, which would have probably been better than going back to drug use. But what would I have done after my time was up? You know, go back to prison? Or I mean, the prison wasn't an option then. It would have been to drug use or to, it eventually led me to this. And now, I mean, it's so much better. I mean, you wouldn't believe the life that I got now because of that.
I want to come back to that in a minute too, to talk about what's happening in your life and in your world right now. Let me skip over to Yolanda. Tell us what you do with VOA. You might hold that up just a little closer. There
sure.
We go.
I'm the program director for.
Let me see this. We are not getting any action here. Okay, there we go. Nope. All right, we'll share this one. All right, thank you.
I'm the program director for our veteran services programs in Indianapolis. We do rapid rehousing for veterans that are literally homeless. We also do homeless prevention, where we pay off eviction notices for veterans to maintain housing. We do have a shelter program. And then also Lincoln Apartments, where we have a 75-unit building where we offer permanent supportive housing for veterans.
When you first saw Greg coming in the door, permission to speak freely, what did you think?
That's a big guy.
He is a big guy. I mean, that can be intimidating.
Yes, yes. But in our education, we are empowered to visit our biases up front and operate in a judgment-free zone. So I didn't have any, you know, ill will or negative thoughts. I just wanted to help a veteran.
So what have you learned in your work and in your career of how to get beyond what might be a first reaction? You see this person of a different race, somebody who can be intimidating to look at, where you might make all kinds of assumptions about what this person is about and how he might look at you, to then see a person with need you can help. Have you learned any tricks about being able to do that?
Yes. The trick, really, honestly, is to be myself. Authentically myself, and show compassion and empathy up front. That helps build rapport. And just keep my eyes on the main goal of empowering another person.
Yolanda's been with us 14 years at VOA, so we're grateful for her leadership.
Oh man, that's
Thank
so
you,
awesome.
John.
So I'll ping pong back to you, Greg. When you point a finger at Yolanda and say, that woman saved my life, what did she do? What was that about?
Well,
and you might hold the microphone just a little closer. Thank
she,
you, sir.
Oh, Lord. She gave me avenues to go down, and she gave me, for one, inspiration, and she gave me a bed to sleep in. She gave me ways to find things that I can... I'm stumbling here, I'm
That's
sorry.
All right, that's
she
all
gave
right.
me like other programs that I could look into, and she gave me, you know, avenues, like I said, that I could go, different things that I could go, do this. She didn't do them for me.
Right.
She said, you could go do them yourself, and I did. I got up off my bunk, and I went and found them myself, you
and
know.
And shared with other veterans.
And shared with other veterans, yeah.
Yes.
And you know, you got to get motivated and go out there and do it yourself. It's not going to fall into your lap, of course, but they're going to give you the resources to do it. And she definitely is going to do that for you.
How do you feel like she looked at you coming in the door with the needs that you had? And I can imagine you could have been in a place in your life at that time where you might assume how everybody's looking at you. Somebody with addiction, somebody who's been in prison. Did you feel like she was looking at you differently that gave you some motivation and hope?
Not her, no. Other people, yes. But not Yolanda, no.
But she, no, that she looked at you in a positive way.
She did.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
yeah, she did.
And she just helped you believe in yourself?
She did, yeah. And she was a big inspiration in my life and a big, like I said, whenever she helped me say, she's, as far as did she save me from a burning house? No. But did she pull me out of the throes of addiction and pull me out of going down a life that I would have probably ended up, they say jails, institutions, and death. Hmm. And that's where she saved me from.
What I think is neat about that is before you ever get to answers, here's the program you need. Here's the resources you need. Before you even get to that, is this first experience of somebody looking at me as a human being.
Yes.
And treating somebody with a sense of you are valued.
Absolutely.
You are valuable. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
That you provide people. And where did that come from for you?
God, honestly. For my passion to help homeless veterans, it started when I was 17. And so I feel like I'm living my purpose. And so through that, it naturally manifests what I'm doing and how I appear and how I help others in the community.
This is kind of a recurring theme I hear with all of you about why you do the work you do.
Yes.
Because it comes from a place in which you feel like I've received something. I want to pass it on. I want to let my life be a vessel where this flows through me. And now that's happening with you, isn't it, Greg? When you got here this morning, John and I had been visiting in the office, and I stepped away for a minute, and then you were learning things that he's doing now you didn't even realize. Can you share what kind of things you're engaged in at the moment?
Yeah, I want to say something before I get to that, though. So you guys talk about housing and stuff. So they gave me a place to stay at first, right? And they helped me with that. And then so with that, closed on a house in April, so I ended up buying a house
The help desk. Oh, that's great.
That's
so good.
If the VOA hadn't helped set me on my feet, I wouldn't be a homeowner today. So since that, also I've been through Lincoln Tech. Also, I finished that, and also now I'm in Ivy Tech doing entrepreneurship. Plus, I'm going through for a peer support recovery specialist, which that's going to help for addictions. And then I'm going to do addictions support, you know. So I want to give back to other people what has given to me. And John says I might be able to come to work for the VOA for...
Our peer recovery support is so important to the work and the outcomes, I think, we produce. So I was thrilled this morning, to hear Greg say he's recently kind of chosen that path. It's very exciting.
And it's very rich that it comes from somebody with lived experience.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes, so it's super relatable.
The grace that you've received, you want to let it now be a part of helping other people where you can identify with what they're going through.
Yes. Well, it may sound cliche or whatever, but God, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't probably be clean right now with the help that God's worked through the VOA and through me, and I would like God to work through me to give it to other people.
So, Yolanda, do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever have days where you go, I just can't do this anymore? Or the needs that just seem to get bigger and bigger. Do you ever have days you get discouraged?
Absolutely. However, I thrive on challenges. And we do have difficult cases where it could cause discouragement. But we have so many great outcomes that it keeps us going. Yes.
So focusing on the good things that have been happening, even with the ones that don't go that direction, believe that the next one walking in the door can be a good outcome. Yeah, that's beautiful.
And we'll work to make it successful as hard as we can. Absolutely.
So this kind of comes back around to my question that I left with you earlier, and I really want this to be for all of you, any of you, in thinking about people here where they may say, I'm just getting so discouraged. I don't think what I do even matters. I'm losing my motivation to do anything that matters. What would you say?
Well, it matters.
Go ahead, Greg.
It matters.
I think that's a very succinct but very important thing that you just said. I think, in our view, we believe that the Lord prepares us for storms, and it's all referenced obviously throughout the Bible. That we feel that is one of those things we're experiencing now as a not just individual recovery or trying to help someone to get from point A to point B, but in a organizational sense, in a funding sense, in a global sense, that it's a pretty stormy environment out there, and I think that we stay the course and we're resilient, and have to focus on what Yolanda said, is focus on those positives, those success stories, and show that outcomes not just are possible but are happening.
Yeah, and we've housed, since October, 107 veterans and families that were literally homeless, 107 so far. And so I just keep my eye on the goal and try to surpass that each year.
Yeah. So in September, we're going to do a series on hope, and you get to help preach. You've always wanted to because you've told me that. You've given me plenty of things I need to say when I'm up here. So here's your chance. For the month of September, we're going to do a series on hope. And in my email this past Friday, we included a link where you can include hope stories. What is any example of where you have seen something hopeful occurring? And we want you to share that so we can turn around and share it with others in the church. I can include it in sermons, but we're going to be thinking in September about heroes of hope in the Bible and the message for us in our time today. So I appreciate the chance for a commercial right there. But I'm grateful for what you do. I think one last question I would have for you is, what encouragement would you give to a bunch of church people to keep them encouraged about what they're doing? I just was on a trip to Iceland and Norway. And in this town that's like one of the furthest northernmost cities in the world, just about a mile from the Arctic Circle, there's one church in the village, tiny little village, but a beautiful church building. I put it in my email this past week, and our guide explained that there's not a pulpit in the church. They built it intentionally. It's a Protestant church. They intentionally built it with no pulpit. I wasn't able to get into the church to take a picture. But the person pointed out that the church was intentionally built with lots of windows to look out. And I just have been struck with that. First of all, don't get any ideas about not having a pulpit around. But it feels like a theological point they were making, that if we are not focusing outside, we're missing something. We've got to be looking out the window. We've got to be seeing what we can do. And I feel like that's what this parable of Jesus is about, is being able to have those revelations every day of, I can make a difference here. I can help a person. And I would hope, as we've heard here, that more important than having all the answers to people's problems, when we just help people understand that they're human beings of value, and by our encounter with them, we help them experience that, we're already doing a big service. So any last word you guys would offer on keeping us encouraged and doing work?
I would just say, just remember that we were literally created by God to help each other. Like, that's our main purpose, and just follow your purpose.
And just do it.
Yes.
I think this amazing congregation, which is what we try to model ourselves toward, is a ministry of service, and that makes all the difference in the world. We see it every day, and we keep striving and achieving, and great things happen.
Great.
If you know anybody that needs help, send them in the right direction, and VOA is in one of the places that will be the right direction. Thank you.
So you can go onto their website for Volunteers of America and learn about some of the specific services. So when you do know somebody with a need, we're that much better informed about places where we can direct people. And I hope you would feel good about not only a place that's providing important human service need, but they're helping people spiritually, emotionally. So after the service, you might want to come up and talk with them to learn a little more about what they do. You might even be inspired to say, how can I help? What are the needs that you guys have? Maybe even supporting them financially. I want to encourage you to think about that. But as we close, let me lead us in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for these, your servants, for John and the leadership that he provides for all of Indiana and Ohio and Volunteers of America, for Yolanda and what she does so hands-on, especially with veterans who are hitting hard times in life and maybe giving up on themselves. Lord, just continue to fill her with that faith and love and hope that is so evident in her. And Greg, who has been a recipient of these services and now wants to be a part of giving them and providing them. Good things are happening in his life, and we thank you for that. Continue to direct his steps and work through him, all for the sake and glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. Once again, would you thank these folks?